First of all, I wanted to give everyone a shkoyach for coming, especially in the inclement weather. And I wanted to begin by thanking our hosts, Paul and Lisa Glazer. Paul initially suggested that we should have a shiur on the Inyanei Hashkafa once a month, and he is he's generously offered to host it and to arrange it. And we only wish and give them the bracha to Paul and to Lisa that all of the Torah that they host here in their home should elevate and inspire the level of Kedusha and Tahara of their entire home and their entire mishpacha.
Amen.
This is the second in a series of shiurim, mini-series, at least on the Rambam, Rambam's 13 Ikari Emunah, his 13 principles of faith. And we concluded the last shiur with a point about the nature of Olam Haba. And what I would like to do tonight is to put that point that we made about Olam Haba, to take it, to put it into context, perhaps to elaborate upon it, to develop it a little bit more, and to appreciate all of its consequences and all of its ramifications. If we do that, Emir Zashem, I think we'll shed light on the concepts of Yemais HaMashiach and of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And we're just going to touch on these topics. Obviously, these topics are vast and deserve their own comprehensive treatment, which we are not going to do tonight. But I believe that if we understand the common theme that exists between Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach, and Tchiyas HaMeisim, we'll gain a greater perspective on these difficult and nuanced and important concepts. We began last time, and we'll begin this time, with the discussion of the Rambam in his 13 Ikari Emunah. The Rambam, at the beginning of the 10th parak of Masechta Sanhedrin in his Perusha Mishnayos, outlines for us 13 principles of faith, 13 Ikari HaEmunah. But the Rambam doesn't tell you exactly what these are relevant for. What's the purpose? What do these represent? What is the purpose in this endeavor of collecting these 13 Ikari Emunah? What do they represent? And the most obvious possibility is that the 13 Ikari Emunah, the 13 principles of faith, represent what a good Jew has to believe in. They represent all the dogmas of Yiddishkeit. These are the things you must believe in. And that's the way the Abarbanel in his Sefer Rosh Emunah understood the Rambam. The Rambam was telling you the 13 things everybody has to believe in. We discussed last time the difficulty with that approach, and that is, and the Abarbanel already takes offense, if this is what the Rambam intended to do, the Abarbanel says the Rambam failed, because a person has to believe that all of Torah is true. You can't say these 13 things you must believe and everything else you don't have to believe in. A person has to believe in everything. And presumably the Rambam would agree with that. Because the Rambam, in his 8th Ikar and Emunah, the 8th principle of faith, is that the entire Torah was from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In which case a person has to believe that all of Torah is true. The Rambam says even if you deny that one word of Torah is not true, a person is a kafir, he's an apikoris. So a person has to believe that the entirety of Torah is true. So then what then do these 13 Ikarim and Emunah represent, and what did the Rambam seek to accomplish by articulating them and by collecting them? So the other possibility that's raised by the Rishonim is, what is the Rambam seeking to accomplish here, is that the Rambam was telling us the primary and fundamental beliefs of Yiddishkeit. Meaning, if you boil everything down, it will come down to these 13 things. The problem with that approach, and that's the way it's understood by the Sefer HaIkrim, Rav Yosef Albo, one of the Rishonim, the problem with that approach is that Rav Yosef Albo argues you could boil it down even further. Why did the Rambam stop here with these 13, if these are the primary and fundamental core principles of Yiddishkeit from which everything else emerges, and everything else stems from these 13 principles? These 13 could be narrowed down even further to more primary and more fundamental beliefs. And the Sefer Ikrim argues, really there's 3 core beliefs to Yiddishkeit from which everything stems. He claims that there's Metzius Hashem, if a person believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, the Torah Min HaShamayim, and Schar V'Yonesh, everything stems from those 3 concepts. So if the Rambam was trying to boil it down to primary and fundamental beliefs, the Rambam also seems to have failed, because a person could boil it down even further to 3 core beliefs. So what then do the 13 Ikar Min HaEmunah represent? What did the Rambam seek to accomplish by collecting them? So we concluded last time with the Pshat of the Brisker Rav, which appears in his Haggadah on Pesach, where the Brisker Rav explains that the Rambam's 13 Ikar Min HaEmunah represent what a person has to believe in order to attain Olam Haba. That's what it represents. It doesn't represent everything you have to believe in. You have to believe in much more. You have to believe in the entire Torah. It doesn't represent the core principles. The core principles, you could boil it down to three, perhaps. What it represents is you must believe in these 13 things to attain Olam Haba. And the Rambam tells us as much. The Rambam, in the 10th parak of Maseches Sanhedrin, writes on the Mishnah, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek li'olam haba. All of Yisrael has a chelek in Olam Haba. The Rambam says, who is Yisrael? Kasher, look at the underlined part. Kasher yiyu kayomim la'olam kol yisoydes halalu. When a person will believe in all of these principles, he just finished outlining the 13 principles. When you believe in the 13 ikar min amuna, v'amunasa b'hem amitis, and his amuna in them is complete, harehu nichnas b'chlal Yisrael. Then he's included in Yisrael, and he attains a portion in Olam Haba. If a person has doubts about one of these principles, so the Rambam says, if you don't believe in one of these team things, then you are an apikaris, which the Mishnah says in Maseches Sanhedrin loses his chaylek in Olam Haba, or does not have a chaylek in Olam Haba. So the way the Brisker Rav understood what the Rambam was trying to accomplish by collecting these 13 ikar min amun, and what they represent, is that a person has to believe in these 13 things to get into Olam Haba. And if you believe in these 13 things, you can get into Olam Haba, even if he's not a Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Perek Ches of Hilchas Malachim, that even someone from the Umos HaOlam, a Ben Noach, who believes in these 13 principles, can have a portion in the Olam Haba. Kol HaMakabel, Ois Beis over here, Kol HaMakabel Sheva Mitzvahs V'Nizel HaSoison. Anybody who accepts all seven of the Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, HaRezeh Mechasidei Umos HaOlam, he's a chassidei umas ha'olam, v'yesh lo chelek lo'olam haba. The Rambam says he has a chelek in olam haba, even though he's not a yid. V'hu sheyakabel oisan, v'yase oisan, v'bnei sheyitziva behen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah v'odiyenu adei Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a little bit an important caveat. The Rambam says as long as he does the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, not because he thinks it's the right thing to do, or because the area of the country that he lives in demands that you keep all Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. No, he has to do it because he believes that this was communicated to us by Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if he believes in the Ikar Min Amunah, so then he can, even if he's from the Umas HaOlam, be zeichet to a chelek in Olam Haba, because whoever believes in these 13 things has a chelek in Olam Haba, he's included in Kol Yisrael, Yeshom chelek in Olam Haba, and if you do not believe in these 13 things, then you do not have a chelek in Olam Haba. The Rambam in the Mara Nevuchim explains this concept further, that this is because Olam Haba is an intellectual experience. The Rambam tells us that when a person is born with a certain seichel, his life's goal is to broaden that seichel, to develop his intellect to the degree that he believes in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna. If he has developed his intellect to the degree that he believes in these 13 things, then he can enjoy the intellectual experience of Olam Haba. The Rambam tells us Olam Haba is an intellectual experience of understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam that we cannot attain here. So since the Rambam says Olam Haba is a kind of intellectual experience, so therefore says the Rambam, you have to broaden your intellect to the degree that you can appreciate it. If you do not believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrim of Emunah, the Rambam says, it's not that you lose your chelek in Olam Haba, a person just is not relevant to Olam Haba, he can't appreciate it. So Rambam says you have to develop your seichel. If you develop your seichel and you have these emunos, v'tikon ha'emunos, v'nesinos, deos, amitios, then a person can understand or can relate or can be zeiche to Olam Haba, la'olam shekulo toiv, arach yamim la'olam shekulo arach. Then a person can have Olam Haba of eternal life. But that is an intellectual experience for the Rambam. So since it's an intellectual experience, the Rambam says that a person has to broaden his intellect to the degree that he believes in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna. If he doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna, then he will not have a chelek in Olam Haba. And that's how the Rambam understands the schar that is for tzaddikim in Olam Haba and the punishment that is for Rishoyim. Look over here, Ois Dala, the Rambam writes in Perek Ches of Hilchos Teshuvah, HaToiva HaTzfuna LaTzaddikim, the Toiva that is set aside or hidden for tzaddikim, Hi Chai HaOlam Haba, is itself enjoying this reward of Olam Haba, the experience of Olam Haba. Schar tzaddikim hu sheyizku l'noyam zeh. The schar that tzaddikim get is that they will benefit from this, they'll enjoy it. And on the second line he writes, u'piron ha'rishoyim hu What is the punishment that's due to Rishayim? Shaloi yizku lechayim elu, ele yichrasu v'yamusu. They will not be relevant to this experience of Olam Haba, and therefore they will die and they will be cut off. Meaning they will never get there. Because it's an intellectual experience, but you have to believe in the Yogim HaIkri Amunah to get there. If you don't, you simply just won't get there. And that's the biggest punishment of all. So the Yud Gimel Ikram of the Rambam represent not everything you have to believe in. It represents not core, fundamental, and primary beliefs. Like, you know, the primary colors of the rainbow, that which you can focus everything, boil it down to. If it would be the case, it would be three. And if it would be the case, the Rambam were listing all the things you had to believe in, there'd be many, many more. You have to believe in the entire Torah. Rather, what is the Rambam telling us by collecting the 13 Ikar Min Amunah? He's telling us if you believe in these 13 things, you are relevant to Olam Haba. If you do not, you are simply not relevant to Olam Haba. Yes?
On point Bez, you referred to the Sheva Mitzvah Ben Enayach.
Right.
It said as long as a guy believes the Sheva Mitzvah Ben Enayach, and he believes it comes from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from Moshe Rabbeinu, he gets a chayav Olam Haba. How does that What I was asking was, how does the Sheva Mitzvah Ben Enayach relate to the 13 Ikrei Emunah?
I assume, and you're right, I'm adding here, but I assume when he says that it was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that that's including that he believes in something. At least a number of the Ikrim and Amunah that relate to him, or enough of them that he could get a portion in Olam Haba. The Rambam doesn't tell us any more than that, but the Rambam tells us even a Ben Noach, which is surprising, can have a chelek in Olam Haba. So I would suggest that that's because along the lines of what the Rambam told us, that the Yugim Ikrim represent what you need to get into Olam Haba, perhaps even a Ben Noach who believes in those things can get there. Otherwise, I don't see how he gets there.
So why does the Mishnah say Kol Yisrael?
So what Yisrael means is whoever believes in the Ikrim and Emunah, and that, and if you don't believe, that's what the Rambam told us. Who is Yisrael? Is the person who believes in the Ikrim and Emunah. If you don't, then you're not a Yisrael.
Kol Yisrael has 613.
Right.
They've been boiled down to 13 Ikrim and Emunah.
No.
Maybe the Goyim that have.
They're not boiled down. That's exactly the point. These 13 things, if you don't believe in, let's say, something else, you don't believe in something else, you could get out of my book. You're wrong, but you could get out of my book.
Fine, I accept that, but I'm saying it could be that he either has so many mumitzes, he has to have 13 if you
know. It could be a bad enough less. Right, but we're stabbing in the dark. We don't know. The Rambam doesn't tell us.
Okay.
Right, so I agree, but we just don't know. However, what the Rambam is telling us is, in fact, something that is more profound and really goes to what the heart of Olam Haba is all about. And Reb Chaim really takes this idea and expands it a little bit further. What the Rambam seems to be telling us is that being Zoyecha to Olam Haba is the type of reward that is a natural reward as opposed to an artificial reward. You know, from raised children, knows that there's two ways you can motivate children. Two, you know, fundamental ways. One way is you can provide the child with an artificial reward. I tell the child, you know, shovel the snow because I'll give you $10. I'll give you a soda can, a chocolate, depending on the age of the child, you know, whatever works at that age. Or clean up your room, I'll give you money to do it, whatever the case may be. Study for your tests, I'll give you $10. That's an artificial reward. Then there's a natural reward. A natural reward is where I tell the child, study for your tests because then you'll be successful in life. Or shovel the driveway because then you have a place to play. Clean your room because then you maybe you'll find that toy you've been missing. So the reward is the activity itself. It's built in. It usually doesn't work with children. But that's a natural reward. An artificial reward is where you have to tell the child, do this and I'll give you something external, something else. So according to the Rambam, Olam Haba is a natural reward. If you have developed your seichel to the degree that you believe in the Ikrim and Emunah, then you can benefit, you can enjoy Olam Haba, which itself is an intellectual experience for the Rambam. And the reward of developing your intellect is an intellectual experience of Olam Haba. If you do not believe in the Ikrim and Emunah, so then he does not get a chelek in Olam Haba, not because I took away a candy bar, I took away a can of soda or something, but it's because you simply, if you didn't study for your test, you simply will fail. And there's nothing, that's not a punishment to the child that he fails the test. It's just a consequence of his actions. So too here, losing Olam Haba, the Rambam seems to be telling us, is a natural consequence, not a punishment. And in fact, that's how Reb Chaim understands a difficult Rambam. The Rambam writes over here, Ois Hei, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Teshuva, Halacha Zayin, the Rambam says, Ha'omer she'yei shem ribon echad aval shehu guf u'bal temuna. A person who says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is one and he exists, but he has a form. He has a body. So the Rambam says he's an apikares, a min, and he loses Olam Haba. That's the third Iker and Amunah of the Rambam. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no guf u'bal tamuna. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he writes at the second line after the period, Aleph Aleph Omar Avraham, V'rlama karol azem min. Why does he call such a person who believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a physical guf? Why does he call him an apikares? V'kama gedolim v'toivim imenu. Many people greater and better than the Rambam, Halchu Bazua Machshava. I don't know who this is. Which Rishonim is he talking about? But he says that there are those, maybe we should have a shiur about this, but he says there are those that are greater and better than the Rambam that follow this Machshava. Why? The Rabbi doesn't seem to agree, but he says that there are many people greater than the Rambam who felt like this. The Rabbi says it's not their fault. If you read the Chumash, it implies the Ribbono Shel Olam has a guf. The pasuk in Yana de Yoimel in the Parshas HaShavua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, Biyad Chazakov is right in a tuya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. So the Chumash implies in numerous places, and Chazal as well, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a guf. So says the Ravid, it's not their fault. The Ravid doesn't think it's correct, but he says it's not their fault. If a person believes the Ribbono Shel Olam has a guf, it's not his fault. He's like a Tinok Shenishba. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, we're familiar with, that if a person violates Shabbos, b'meizid eschila, b'shoigeg, he brings a carbon chatos. But let's say it's not even a shoigeg, it's not inadvertent, it's not by accident. He simply never received a Jewish education. He doesn't know anything about Shabbos, never heard of Shabbos before. He doesn't have to bring a carbon. He's exempt. He's a tinok shenishba. We don't punish a tinok shenishba, a tinok that was taken captive when he was a little baby and didn't receive a Jewish education. So says the Ravid here too, it's not his fault. He was led astray by the psukim that imply that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a form. So why should he lose Olam Haba? So Chaim is quoted over here by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman in his letters, called the Kovetz Mamorim. He quotes from Rabbi Chaim, V'shamati b'shem Rabbi Chaim, that by kfir avoy shayach shoygeg, when it comes to not believing in the Ikrei Amunah, there's no concept of shoygeg, of inadvertent. Dahami kol makom eino mamin. You simply don't believe. If you don't believe, even if it's not your fault, but you don't believe, you don't get a chelek in Olam Haba. Olam Haba depends upon a person. Let's say a kid comes into school and he says, I didn't study. Why didn't you study? It wasn't my fault. It doesn't make a difference. You'll fail the test. So too here, says the Rambam, if you don't believe, you simply are not shayach to Olam Haba. So even if it's not your fault, it's not a punishment that we want to punish you, lose Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a natural reward, a consequence of believing. A person can then enjoy Olam Haba. If you don't believe, you cannot enjoy Olam Haba. We would not punish a person who's a kaifer b'shoigeg. If a person is a tinek shenishba, so the Chazon Ish writes, he might count for a minyan. It could be. He might. But that's not the point. The point is, in order to be relevant for Olam Haba, which is an intellectual experience, a person has to have developed his intellect to the degree that he believes in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amunah. What is fascinating is, it seems that the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid's position is, if it's not your fault that you don't believe, then he still has Olam Haba. Meaning the Ravid seems to have understood that Olam Haba is not a natural reward. Olam Haba is an artificial reward. Moshul, the Havdil, Elif Alfei Havdolis, like a candy bar, or a soda can, or a $10 that you give a child for performing a task. So too, the Ravid says, Olam Haba is an artificial reward that you get for being, for performing mitzvahs. So if it's not his fault that he's a kaifer, it's not his fault he's an apikaris, he never learned any better, he would have Olam Haba. We don't punish him that he should lose Olam Haba, just like we don't punish him that he has to bring a carbon chatas, the tinok shenishba. We don't punish him, label him as a mumar dino ka'akum. He wouldn't lose Olam Haba for the Ravid. The Rambam has understood Olam Haba is a natural reward, a consequence of his actions. Yeah.
He believes in 12 Ikrim, the Ravid.
Okay, he believes in 12.
No, so according to Ravid, maybe he doesn't...
That's not good enough for the Rambam. You missed the cut.
The Rambam says you need these 13
Ikrim
to enjoy Olam
Haba. Right.
Right. Rambam holds you don't need these 13. You need 12. He doesn't agree with the 13 with this one.
Yeah, but that's not the argument he makes. The argument, he doesn't say this is not important. The argument he makes is it's not their fault, which implies that the Ravid understood that if it's not your fault, you still have Olam Haba, even though you don't believe. So for the Ravid, it sounds like Olam Haba is an artificial reward, whereas for the Rambam, it sounds like it's a natural reward. Like a child studying for his test, he'll do well. Doing well itself is a ma'ala. That's how the Rambam understood Olam Haba. whereas according to the Ravid, it's something external that you receive a reward for doing the right thing. This issue, whether Olam Haba is a natural reward or an artificial reward, we kind of is relevant in other contexts as well. We generally assume that it's an artificial reward, that it's kind of like if you do the right thing, then you'll be rewarded. But this seems to actually be a machlekes achrayim with regards to a well-known halacha. Is Olam Haba like a commodity that I can buy and sell? Can I write over my Olam Haba to somebody else? Or maybe that whole concept makes no sense. This comes up with regards to a pasuk in Parashas V'zayis HaBracha, where the pasuk says, with regards to Shevet of Zvulun and Yisachar, the pasuk says, Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar b'alecha. Zvulun should be happy going out, and Yisachar should be happy in the tents. Going out to business, Zvulun, and Yisachar should be happy in the tents of Torah. So Rashi says, from the fact that Zvulun and Yisachar are mentioned in the same pasuk, sounds like they have an arrangement over here. So Rashi says, that's Yisachar Zvulun. What is the arrangement? Zvulun goes to work, he earns money, he gives some of the, he uses the money to support Yisachar, and Yisachar splits with him the schar that he receives for learning. And this is quoted by the Ramah in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Oy Zayin, in Yoradeya Simeresh Menvav, Umishi Yevshalo Lilmod, it's better to learn yourself, but Umishi Yevshalo Lilmod, Yasbik La'acherim Alayndim. He should support other people who are learning. V'techashiv lo ki'ilu loymed ba'atzma. It will be as if he learned himself. V'yocho adam lahasisim chavero shehu yasek b'tayra. He'll learn Torah and he'll give parnasah to his friend and they'll split the reward. They'll split the reward in Olam Haba. That's what the Ramah says. How do you understand this relationship, this Yisachar Zvulun? That's machlekes achrayim. The Beis Yosef writes in the Avkas Reichel in his Tshuvas that it's literally a partnership. It says it's I make up with you. Let's say I'm going to work, you're going to learn. I'll give you half of my earnings. You'll give me half of your Olam Haba for your learning. Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe that you have to split it 50-50, which is not done by anybody I know who has Yisachar Zvulun. That means that if a guy makes $5 million or whatever and he supports a guy in Yisachar Zvulun, he's got to give him 2.5, and then he gets half the Talmud Torah. You can't give the guy a stipend and get half of his Talmud Torah. It has to be that you give the guy half of what you earn, says Rav Moshe. Mamash a partnership. Half of what you earn, then you get half of the Torah that he's learning. That's how Rav Moshe understood the concept of Yisachar Zvulun. Therefore, Rav Moshe writes that he loses half of his Olam Haba for his learning. Half of that goes to the guy who's working. Just like the guy who's working has to give him 2.5, so too, this guy's got to give him half of the Olam Haba that he was going to get, and he loses because of that. The Meshech Chochma claims that's the pshat in the pasuk in Parshas Vayechi by Yisachar Vayehi Lamas Oved, that he will be an indentured servant. Mas also could mean a tax. So you say he works as he has a tax. What's the tax on Yisachar for learning? That he's got to give half of his Olam Haba to Zvulun. He loses half and he has to give it to Zvulun. That's one interpretation of this concept. However, many disagree. The Archaim HaKodesh, the Baal HaFloh, there's a famous Tshuva in the Tuv Tam Vadas, or Shlomo Kluger, who writes, no, you cannot barter Olam Haba. Olam Haba is non-transferable. If you learn Torah, then you expand your seichel, your knowledge of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That cannot transfer to somebody else. It's not a commodity that you can buy and sell futures and, you know, short sell. It doesn't exist when it comes to Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba, presumably they understood, is a natural reward for your activity. So if you learn, you're Zayachat Olam Haba. I can't transfer that to somebody else. What does Yisachar Zvulun mean? So they understood it an entirely different way. They claim that when a person gives tzedakah normally, that's a support of Hachnasas Kala. That's a wonderful thing. There's a tremendous amount of reward for that. A person supports Temchei Shabbos, tremendous amount of reward. There's a unique thing when a person supports Torah, a fringe benefit. If you support Torah, it's as if you learned yourself. It's not that I'm taking away any of the reward of the guy who learns. He learns, he gets his Olam Haba by itself. You study for the test, you do well on the test. I can't take that away. But when I support Torah, even if I give him a stipend, you don't have to give him half of your parnasa. Even if you give him a stipend, I support Torah, that's as his learning is as if I learned myself. Not because we're splitting it, it's not a partnership, I'm trading Olam Haba. It's that if I support her, it's as if I learned myself. The pasuk says in Parashas Truma that when Bataba Oisa Aroin, you Abadim. When the Aron was traveling from place to place, there were poles on the side. So it was only used for traveling. Nonetheless, the pasuk says, "B'tabayis Haron Yuhu Abadim," that the in the rings on the side of the Aron, the poles always had to be there. So Rashi touches on the pasuk, they have to be there li'olam, forever. The badim have to be there. Whether you're going anywhere, you're not going anywhere, it's going to reside in the Beis HaMikdash, or always the poles have to be on the side of the Aron. What's the significance of that? So Chafetz Chaim writes in his Perush on Chumash, Rabbi Yaakov has the same thing in the Emes Li'akov, and that is that the poles represent those who support Torah, who carry Torah. And they're next to the Aron li'olam, because whoever supports Torah is as if he learned Torah, and therefore they're always connected to the Aron because they even have a chelek in Olam Haba for the learning of the Torah that they support. So why? Why? If I support Torah, it's as if I learned myself. So I think along the lines of what we've been saying, we can understand, because a person who appreciates knowledge, at least, is the first stage of having knowledge. If you don't appreciate knowledge, you don't support knowledge, so then you're not shocked to the whole world of knowledge and intellect. But if a person at least supports Torah, so then that he appreciates what it's all about, that already, even if you follow the natural order of things, you know, the natural reward of Olam Haba for learning, he at least appreciates knowledge. That's a certain, even if he was never zeicha to be able to do it himself, at least he appreciates it. That gets him a little bit of Olam Haba for that alone. But it doesn't detract from the person that he's supporting, yeah.
Is it the Rav's position that, according to the Rambam, then that somebody who is incapable of, you know, somebody who is challenged in a way that they are incapable has no place in Olam Haba?
Let's say a child, yeah. Or some. I think those cases are going to be harder to fit in with any structure. Meaning, let's say,
not in a structure where yes,
I'm saying, right, but let's say I'm saying even if it works based on mitzvahs, so, right, it's going to be harder to work in for the Rambam. I agree with you. It's going to be harder to work in. I don't take the position that you said, but I don't know how it fits in with the Rambam.
All I do is getting schar to get to Olam Haba, not the Olam Haba comes in and of itself.
So that's the way the Rambam understood. According to the Rambam, and this is the way some Achronim seem to understand by the Yisachar Zvulun, Olam Haba is not a commodity, it's not an artificial reward, it is a byproduct, it's a natural reward for believing. If you believe, you're relevant, you've developed your seichel, the Rambam says, which is very Aristotelian idea, but you have developed your intellect to the degree that you are now relevant to Olam Haba. And you can appreciate it, basking in the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you are relevant to that discussion, you can appreciate it. If you do not believe in the Yogim HaIkrim and Amunah, for the Rambam, it's not a punishment that you lose it. You can't make an argument coming with a doctor's note, or you say, well, it wasn't my fault, the Tinek Shenishma. It doesn't make a difference. You simply are just not relevant. You can't appreciate what Olam Haba is all about as an intellectual experience.
So how do you apply this all the time? It's just all Targum Mitzvahs have an intellectual aspect.
No, for the Rambam, that's going to be one of the arguments against the Rambam, is that this doesn't fit with any of the concepts that we're used to. If you do a mitzvah, you get reward. You do an aver, you get punished. For the Rambam, it's either you're in or you're out. How do you understand that entire concept? And that's why many Rav HaRishayim reject the Rambam. And it's not the traditional approach. The traditional approach is that of the Ravid. And that is that Olam Haba is something that you earn for mitzvahs, you lose for averis. And if a person, and it's an artificial reward, not just an intellectual experience, it's an artificial reward that you have. And if a person is a Tinok Shenishba, we wouldn't punish him, and he would not lose any Olam Haba, because he doesn't believe if it's not his fault. Okay, so that's what we have for the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam seems to understand Olam Haba is a natural consequence of believing. It's an intellectual experience, whereas for the Ravid, it's an artificial experience. You don't necessarily have to believe proactively in these 13 things. If it's not your fault, you can also get to Olam Haba. This machlekes between the Rambam and the Ravid, really, if you dig a little bit deeper, is really a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ravid with regards to the nature of what is Olam Haba. The Rambam is discussing, and Ois Tess is discussing the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us in Brachas and Daf Yud Zayin, Lo ka Olam Hazeh Olam Haba. This world is not like the next world. Ha'olam haba ein b'loy achila v'loy shesiyah v'loy pirah v'rivyah v'loy masa u'matan. In the next world, there's no eating, there's no drinking, no pirah v'rivyah, no business, no kina, no hatred, no competition. Ela tzadikim yoishvin v'itroseihem b'roisheihem. Their crowns sit on their head v'nenim miziv hashchina. And they enjoy being in the glory or the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what olam haba is about. There's no eating, no drinking. No jealousy, nothing. You're just sitting and enjoying the Ziv HaShechina. So therefore, the Rambam concludes from this Gemara, Oistes, Ha'olam HaBo Eimbo Guf V'Gviya. Olam HaBo does not have a body. You are not in a body in Olam HaBo. It's only a neshama. El nefashos ha-tzadikim bovad beloy guf kemalachi asharis. The Rambam says we are just neshamas in Olam HaBo. There are no bodies in Olam HaBo. You don't have a physical body. That's why there's no eating, there's no drinking, because there's no physical body. Rather, which that's a mashal, says the Rambam. El tzadik, look at the end of the second line. El tzadikim yoyishim vitroseim bereshayin. They sit with crowns. What is that? V'nenem yiziv ha-shechina. She-yoydin u-masigin me-amitas ha-kadosh baruch u-ma-she-enem yoydin ve-em-meguf ha-ofav el-shafel. When you're in a dark, lowly body, says the Rambam, there are certain things you just can't understand and appreciate about ha-kadosh baruch hu. And in Olam HaBo, it doesn't literally mean we'll be sitting with crowns. It represents the fact that we will now understand, greater understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we will bask in this understanding. That's how the Rambam understands the experience of Olam HaBo.
Is that intellect, then it's not a physical thing?
It's not a physical thing at all for the Rambam. And that follows with what the Rambam has told us. Olam HaBo is an intellectual experience which you have to believe in the Yugam HaIkram to get there, and there's no bodies there. It's just an intellect, it's just the Neshamos. And the Rambam continues in Ois Yud over here, the Rambam Paraches Alochaches tells us that the minute a person dies, he goes to Olam HaBo. Zeh shekara osel chachamim ha'olam HaBo, lo mevdei she'enu matzoi ata. It's called Olam HaBo, not because it's not around now, that this world is going to end, and then Olam HaBo will begin. Ein hadavar kein, he writes on the second line. Elarehu matzoi va'oimed, it is found now. The minute a person dies, he goes to Olam HaBo. The guf separates from the neshama goes... The neshama goes to Olam HaBa. Tzadikim go to Olam HaBa. Rishayim, as the Rambam said, if you don't believe in the Yugim HaIkrim, you never get there. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ravid and the Ramban disagree vehemently with the Rambam. This is one of the reasons, one of the major oppositions to the Rambam's entire Mishnah Torah was because of this idea. The Ravid writes, look back at Ois Tes, and it's not surprising that the Ravid disagrees based on what we know so far. But the Ravid writes on the fourth line, Aleph Aleph Omer Avram, Divrei Ha'ish Hazeh Be'enai Kroivim, it's close to saying, L'misha Omer Ein Tchiyas HaMesim. The Rambam seems to be denying Tchiyas HaMesim, L'gufo Yisrael L'mishama Yisbilvad. He seems to be saying, according to the Rambam, what happens? A person's alive with a body, person dies, if I may have asked him Shana, the neshama separates from the guf, the neshama goes to Olam HaBo. Where's Tchiyas HaMesim? Where is Mashiach? How does that fit in to the Rambam structure? And the Rambam was in fact accused of denying Tchiyas HaMesim, which is extremely ironic because the Rambam in his Yud Gimel Ikram and Amunah claims you cannot be Zaycha Tehillim HaBa unless you believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. That's the, of course, the final Ikar and Amunah. And the 12th is you have to believe in Mashiach. So Rambam clearly believed in these concepts, but we don't understand how it fits in, says the Ravid. A person dies and Shema goes Tehillim HaBa, where's Tchiyas HaMesim? And so the Ravid does not understand. Rather, the Ravid says, in Olam HaBo, we will have bodies. Aval efshar, shahabare yasim gviyosenu, chazokos ubrios, kigviyos hamalachim. What will Olam HaBo be? The Gemara says, there's no eating, no drinking, no business, no hatred, no kinah. So says the Ravid, what that means is, we'll be like malachim, that our spirituality can allow us to subsist on that alone. The Ramban, in his Torah Sa'adam, compares it to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. That he got physical sustenance, kept him alive. So too, in Olam HaBo, we'll have spiritual sustenance, and that will allow us to be alive, but we will have bodies, says the Ravid. The Ravid understands that there will be bodies, it won't just be a neshama alone. That fits well with the Ravid's general understanding of what Olam HaBo is about. Olam HaBo is artificial rewards. It could even be physical rewards. That's what the Navi describes, and the Chumash describes in Parshas Bechukaisai, that if you do the right thing, all the brachas that Kaisai will receive if they properly perform the Torah, they'll receive an Olam HaBo, but that presumes that we have bodies. Whereas the Rambam understood Olam HaBo as an intellectual experience, which if you believe in the Yugim HaIkrim, so therefore the Rambam understood, it makes sense that the Rambam understood that Olam HaBo is just neshamos without a guf. Yes.
So that seems to correspond with why we're so careful with dead bodies and body parts. If you have like a body in this world, you want it to be as intact as possible in this world, and it's put away.
That's Kavod HaMeis is I don't know if it stems from that concept. It might be an independent concept. We'll get to Tchis Mezim. I don't know. It might be related. I don't know. The Ramban also disagrees with the Rambam. That's over here, Oysid Alf, and he outlines for us in his view what takes place after a person dies. Kischar nefosha, says the Ramban, v'kiyumam ba'olam, and this is, I would say, the traditional view. Many of our hashkafas come from the Ramban, both on Chumash and in the Torah of Adam. But the Ramban writes, ki aschar nefoshos v'kiyumam ba'olam ha'neshamos, nikla rabbeinu gan Eden. Says the Ramban, when a person dies, he goes to Gan Eden. The Rambam barely mentions Gan Eden. He kamat doesn't mention Gehenim. That was one of the other criticisms of the Rambam. Gehenim not mentioned over here. Person dies, he goes to Olam Haba. We don't first have to understand where's Tchias HaMeisim. But the Rambam has nowhere, at least in the Mishnah Torah, other places he has it scattered around, but it's hard to fit into his structure, Gan Eden, Gehenim. The Rambam doesn't really deal with these concepts. But the Ramban writes that when a person dies, he goes to Gan Eden, where he exists as an neshama. Goes to Gan Eden, Gehenim, if a person requires a kapara for Averas. After he receives a kapara for his Averas in Gehenim, or he's in Gan Eden, when in Olam Hazeh Mashiach happens, v'achreichen yavo yimei Mashiach, v'hu mechlal Olam Hazeh, when Mashiach comes in this world, at the end of that, will be Tchias HaMeisim. There will be a great day of judgment, as the Navi says, Hinei Anoichin Shaleich Lifneichem Eliyahu Navi, Lifnei Bo Yom HaGadol V'Hanoira. That would be a great day of judgment. Some people will have Tchias HaMeisim, some people won't. But V'Soifin Yeh Yom HaDin, there'll be a day of judgment, V'Tchias HaMeisim, Shu'aschar HaKoyol HaGuf V'HaNefesh. And says the Ramban, there'll be Tchias HaMeisim. Why will there be Tchias HaMeisim? Because in Olam Haba, says the Ramban, we are a guf and a neshama together. That's like the Ravid. We won't eat, we won't drink, we'll have spiritual sustenance, ruchnius will keep us alive, but at the same time, we'll be a guf and a neshama, and that will exist, says the Ramban, for eternity. So according to the Ramban, that's the Seder HaDvarim, and that's, you know, traditional, that's the way we've been brought up. A person performs mitzvahs, so he has Gan Eden. If not, there's Gehenim, which the Ramban says could last for 12 months, as we know from St. Kaddish. Person would say Kaddish for 12 months, that's as long as the neshama stays in Gehenim. Then there'll be Mashiach down here, Tchias HaMeisim, and Olam Haba together with the Guf and the neshama. The Rambam understands, though, that Olam Haba, and then Olam Haba makes sense, could be, according to the Ramban and the Rav, it could be an artificial reward. The Rambam understands it's a natural reward for developing your emunos, the deos, and for the Rambam it's just the neshama alone. So we have two problems, the Rishayim has two problems with the Rambam. The first is, where's Tchias HaMeisim happening here? That's a major problem. The other major problem is, where's all the rewards that the Torah promises a person, or punishments that the Torah promises a person who properly keeps the Torah and the mitzvahs? So the Rambam, at the time of the printing of Mishnah Torah, afterwards had to defend himself, and he printed a maimer on Tchias HaMeisim, where he defended himself. And the Rambam's defense, the Ramban also has, in the name of explaining the opinion of the Rambam, even though he doesn't agree, he explains the opinion of the Rambam. And the opinion of the Rambam is the way the Ramban explains it, and this is the way it appears in the Maimar Tchias HaMeisim, is that according to the Rambam, what will happen is, there will be a person passes away, the neshama goes to Olam Haba. Then in the middle of Olam Haba, he's interrupted, Mashiach comes to Olam Hazeh. Tchias HaMeisim happens, the neshama is brought back to have a physical goof, at which point he lives again alive, passes away again, and goes back to Olam Haba. That's the way the Ramban understood the Rambam. But who yamin be'emes shetchias hamesim shu'ikam eikari ha'tayra oisid beis hakavana bo shetashuv ha'nefesh leguf, the nefesh comes back to the goof, they'll come back at the time of tchias hamesim. Says the Rambam, that's when you'll get all your rewards. That's what the Chumash promises in Parshas Bechukaisa. If you'll do all the mitzvahs, you'll get all the rewards. You'll get it then. The Rambam says that in Hilchos Tshuva, over here, Oisid Gimel, V'shekol ha'toyve shemisnabim behem anevim u'Yisrael, einon elo l'dvarm shebeguf shenenin behen Yisrael imoiz ha'mashiach. When will we get all of those physical pleasures, or artificial rewards? We get them during this interim period, Yomos HaMashiach, Tchias HaMeisim, when a person comes back to a guf, that's when you get all the reward. Then a person dies again, and he goes back to Olam Haba. That's how the Rambam understood what happens over here. totally different than the traditional approach. That's how the Rambam understood. Yes.
According to the Rambam, that the Rambam agrees with the Imam Masechta's Brachos, if there's no eating, yeah, drinking, etc. What's the purpose of having the neshamas return to the guf if the guf is going to be basically non-existential, if you will?
For the Ramban.
Yes,
the Ramban's going to ask that. We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Excellent. Excellent. I'll do one better. What's the purpose for the Rambam? The Rambam, I thought that, I mean, that's the more obvious question. The Rambam holds, a person dies, he goes to Olam Haba. What happens? We disturb. He's in the middle mamash of Olam Haba. He's enjoying the Ribbono Shel Olam, nenemi ziv hashchina. We say, come back. Come back over here to have a goof. What does he want to have a goof for? We promise to know you'll get reward, good things. Why does he want to come back and have a goof? Only to die again and then go back to Olam Haba. So the Abar Benel asked this on the Rambam in his Akhtamah to Sefer Yeshaya. Of your Oisid Daud, Roy Lonish and Avakish Taklis Beplia Tsuma Zois. Who, this is crazy. Malama Toshu Banefesh Achre Yois and Mechitza Ruchonim. He's sitting in the Mechitza of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does he need? Scharva, Oinish, Lichol, Shalshenis, Beguf, Hanigaf. What does he want this for? And he says the Rambam has no explanation. The Rambam does not have an answer for this part. See, the Barbanel asks the Bab Kash on the Rambam, what is the purpose of all of this? Why does a person come back and have to have this Tchiyas HaMesim and disrupt his experience in Olam Haba? The Sefer HaIkrim asked something, which someone asked last time, which is, well, even if this thing does happen, there is Tchiyas HaMesim, why is this Ikar and Emuna? Why is this one of the 13 Ikar and Emuna that you must believe in Tchiyas HaMesim? If you don't get Olam Haba. For the Rambam, it's a very strange concept. You're in Olam Haba, you come back to have a goof, go back to Olam Haba, fine, okay, but let's say it happened, but why do you have to believe, why is that one of the Ikar and Emuna? Huttner, in his letters in the Pachad Yitzchak, has an idea which is really found in the Ramchal and the Derech Hashem. And if you understand it properly, I believe it really just it comes out of the Rishonim. And he explains that the importance of Tchiyas HaMesim and the whole purpose, according to the Rambam, of coming back to be reunited with a goof only to die again, is the following. Huttner explains when the Ribbono Shel Olam, based on the Ramchal, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, as we see from Adam HaRishon and Kaidim HaChet, he intended to create a very different world. Ribbono Shel Olam's intent was that a person should sit, should serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, and if he does mitzvahs, he'll be rewarded right away. He does averus, he'll be punished. None of this confusion of tzaddik v'raloi, rosh v'tovloi, none of this. And a person was supposed to spend his days serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu intended to create. The problem is, when Adam HaRishon performed the chet of eating from the Eitz Hadas, that corrupted the whole system. And says Rav Huttner, we were no longer ready for that experience of Adam HaRishon Kaidim HaChet. And the world turned into a very different place. And we have confusion, and we have Hester Pani, and we have Tzadik V'Raloi, Rosh V'Toyla, we don't understand anything, and we don't see the Mishpat of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day, B'Zeyas HaPecha Toicha Lechem, we're busy with many other things. All of this happened in this world after Adam HaRishon performed the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. And this world is supposed to get us ready for the next world. And what Tchiyas HaMesim represents is the Ribbono Shel Olam, I hate to use this term, but is the Ribbono Shel Olam rebooting the world to come back to the world that was supposed to be before the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And the reason why it's so critical to believe in Mashiach, which is the end of this world, and Tchiyas HaMesim, which is the beginning of the next world, for all those who are not there at the time of Mashiach, the reason why these two concepts are so critical is because it represents the belief that this is not the Iker world. That this world is a prozdor to something else that is more important, to something which is more meaningful, to where we will understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, we'll be able to spend our time serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu only. So the reason why these concepts are so critical is not because a person will come back to a goof, go back to Olam Haba, it's because it represents the world starting over in the ideal world that it was always supposed to be. And that concept, to believe that this world is itself not the Ikar, is that is a very fundamental and core principle, and that the Rambam feels is part of the Yud Gimel Ikarim and Emuna. So the reason why the Rambam feels that you are ripped out of Olam Haba, brought back to be reunited with your guf, is because the world is starting again for the Rambam. And the Rambam understood then, perhaps, that even in the world starting over, a person will die. But we'll get to it in a second. The Ramban explains this concept. I told you the concept would come from the Rishonim. The Ramban explains this concept. Because the Gemara says over here, Ois Tetzvav, Amar Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh, L'Yemos HaMashiach. There's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Yemos HaMashiach. El Shibud Malchus Bilvad. The only difference is that in this world we are subservient to the Umas HaElam. In Yemais HaMashiach, we will be in charge. Meaning we'll determine our own schedule, we'll determine Shenamar, Ki Lo Yechlo Evyam Mikarev Ha'aretz, there'll still be poor people then, there'll still be problems in Yemais HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, Ein Bein HaElam Azel Yemais HaMashiach, El Shibon Malchiz Bovad, not much is going to change. It's Gemara. And the Ramban asks, but the Pasuk says in Parshas Bechukosai, that if you perform the mitzvahs properly, Ve'eshavdi Chaya Ro'am in Ha'aretz, the Ribbono Shel Olam will remove the dangerous animals, the predatory animals from the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to remove predatory animals from the world. So says the Ramban, that's a change. So he says no. Kitiya Eretz Yisrael Be'ez Kima Mitzvahs Kasher Haya Ha'olam Mitchil Asay Koydem Cheto Sho'olam Arishin. At the time of Olam Haba, it's going to revert back. Ribbono Shel Olam is going to remove the predatory animals from the world. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to change Teva. It's going back to the Teva that should have existed prior, Kodem, to the Chet of Adam HaRishon. It's not that it's changing Teva, it's going back to what it should have been. And the Pasuk says in Parashas Bereishis, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, that the animals ate, may Esef Ha'aretz. They ate, they were all vegetarians. All the animals were vegetarians. So says the Ramban, the Pasuk concludes, Vayehi Chen. They all ate vegetation, and that's the way it was. What's that's the way it was? That was their teva, was to be vegetarians. When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, I'm not a vegetarian. When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, that changed teva. People became crueler people, and animals began hunting and killing other animals. But at the time of Tchias HaMeizim, at the time of Adam at Yemot HaMashiach, that's going to revert back, not that it's going to change the Teva of this, we're going to go back to the Teva that existed before the Chet of Adam HaRishon. So in which case it seems that the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raiva that we've been discussing over here, whether Olam Haba is a person is only has an Neshama, or perhaps he has an Neshama with a goof. Perhaps that represents whether Olam Haba is an artificial reward or a natural reward. It's just a byproduct of proper amunos. But it's the Rambam, it's intellectual experience, or perhaps it's artificial reward. Did you get good things? That a person has to have a goof. It's a neshama together with a goof. Perhaps that, if we dig a little deeper, perhaps that really is a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rambam and the Ravid, as to what was in the world of Adam HaRishon Kaidem HaChet. Meaning the Rambam holds, even after Tchias HaMesim, person is reunited with his goof, the world is starting over. It's the world rebooting, the world is coming back to what it always should have been. So a goof has to be reunited with the neshama. So the Ramban claims at that point, no one's going to die. Because that could be, according to the Ramban, in the world of Adam HaRishon, Kaidem HaChet, no one was supposed to die. But the Rambam holds, even after Tchias HaMesim, even after the world is rebooting to the world that it was always supposed to be, and that's Ikar and Amunah, you must believe that this world is not the Ikar. It's going to come to something more important. And we're going to start over. The Rambam held in the world of Adam HaRishon, Kaidem HaChet, that Adam HaRishon was also supposed to die. And in fact, that's Machlekes HaRishayim between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban writes in Yud Zayin, over here, the Ramban and Parshas Bereishis on the Pasuk, B'yoyim HaChalcham Imenu Mois Tamus, on the day that you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told on HaRishon, the day you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. The Ramban calls Aldas Anshei HaTeva. He's being not nice. But he's calling the Ezra, those who are naturalists. The Rambam has the same thing in the Mor Nevuchim. This is the Ibn Ezra's Pshat. That this was a punishment for eating from the Eitz Hadas. That's why it's generally understood. If you ate from the Eitz Hadas, you'll die now. And what if I wouldn't eat from the Eitz Hadas? So he says, okay, so you would have died later. But either way, Adam HaRishon was going to die. And the Rambam makes this point in the Mor Nevuchim. Obviously he wasn't aware of this, but there's a second law of thermodynamics along those lines, which is that the world tends, matter and energy tend to become less useful, they tend to disintegrate over time and get more spread out. All physical bodies, says the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, become less useful over time. And that's a principle of nature, says the Rambam. So it can't be, if Adam HaRishon had a goof when he was created, that he would last forever. Goofim, natural things don't last forever. They deteriorate, become less useful over time. So therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, and that's what the Ramban quotes, V'adas anchi ateva haya ha'odam me'uta l'misa mitchilas yitzira. He was going to die always. Just if he ate now, he's going to die now. Okay. And the Ramban disagrees, and he says, no. Yomale shechata loy meis liyalom. Adam HaRishon was never supposed to die before he ate from the Eitz Hadas. What the pasuk means is if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will then die. But before that, he wasn't supposed to die. So it could be that the machlekes between, the Rambam and the Ramban about the nature of Olam Haba, perhaps the nature of the reward of Olam Haba, will we have just neshamos, will we have neshamos and gufim, relates to their understanding of what was Adam HaRishon Kaidem HaChet. According to the Rambam, Adam HaRishon Kaidem HaChet, he was just, was going to die also. And he was going to be left with just a neshama in Olam Haba. So says the Rambam, even after Tchias HaMeisim, you're reunited with your guf, the world is starting over, the real world will be able to just serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, will understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. After that, a person is going to die and go back to Olam Haba. And Olam Haba is an byproduct of a person's emunos, and is perhaps not an artificial reward, but a natural reward for believing. A person will get the opportunity to bask in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But for the Ramban, Adam HaRishon Kaidem HaChet was a neshama together with the guf. And then, therefore, the Ramban also holds that after Tchias HaMeisim, the reason why we have Tchias HaMeisim is the neshama is reunited together with the guf, and they'll exist like that for eternity, which was what's supposed to have happened with Adam HaRishon Kaidem HaChet. So the machlekes that we had between the Rambam and the Ramban is to the nature, the Rambam and the Ravid, is to the nature of what is the reward of Olam Haba. Is it natural? Is it artificial? Could really have its roots, and that is Olam Haba with the guf, without a guf, could really have its roots in what was supposed to be in Adam HaRishon Kaidem HaChet. Was it supposed to be a guf or no guf? But I think it goes one level deeper. And that is the point that Rabbi Reder raised, which is the Rambam asks, and the Rambam finally turns around and asks Akash on the Ramban. He says, I don't understand. According to the Ramban, we're going to be reunited with our guf. But there'll be no eating. There'll be no drinking. There'll be no masa mata, no nothing. He says, so what's the purpose of the guf? Why is the guf there? What do we need a guf for? So Ramban, the Rambam doesn't understand. He says, Olam Haba, that's why he understood it as an intellectual experience. If there's no achila, no shia, what's the whole purpose of the guf? Why is there a guf there at all? So some say, the Ra'ah, who's a Talmud of the Ramban, says no, because you perform the Averis, you perform the mitzvahs with a guf. So it's like your partner in crime. So when you get reward or you get punished, he's got to go to jail with you and he's got to get the reward with you. And that's, he's your partner, the guf, so you have to get judged with the guf and you have to get rewarded with the guf. He's the one who you did the mitzvahs and Averis with. But Rav Chasdai Kreskes was a Talmud from the Ran, has a sefer called Ar Hashem. So Rav Chasdai Kreskes disagrees and he says, no. He says, let's say a person's wearing a suit when he performs an Avera. He performs a crime. He has to go to jail wearing that same suit. He's got to stand in judgment with that same suit. So he says, no, a body is just a suit. The Pasuk says in Sefer Iyov, Ar Ubasar Tau Bisheni, I'm covered over in Ar Ubasa like a garment. So the Chasdai Kreskes says the body is just a garment, which of course you don't have to be judged in the same garments or receive punishment or reward in the same garments. So the Rambam understood that this machlekes, perhaps this is the root of all of it, this machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban really goes to a greater issue as to what is the identity of a person. The Rambam writes, in the Maimar Tchias HaMeisim, Hinei Nizboer, Ki HaGuf Kulo Hechreich Mitziyuso. The Rambam says, a guf is like a suit. You need it to perform bodily activities, eating, drinking. If there's no need for it, why have it? Because according to the Rambam, a person's identity, his mahus is his neshama. That's who he is. According to the Ramban, it's not the case, and the Rambam makes this point. According to the Ramban, Ein Mitzias, look at the fourth line, Ein Mitzias Ladaitam Koyach Im Leguf. You can't have something that has no form, that has no guf. Omasha Eino Guf, Veloy Beguf, Eino Matzo. If there's no body, it doesn't exist. For the Ramban, a person's identity is not only his neshama, it's his neshama with his guf. So therefore, the Ramban understands that Olam Haba will be neshamos with gufim. And that you're going to last like that forever because that's what a person's identity is. It's not just his neshama. It's his neshama together with his guf. That could have led the Ramban to understand Olam Haba as artificial rewards. Could have physical rewards. You have a guf. And perhaps it led to many of the issues that we discussed. But the Rambam understands a person's real identity, who he is his intellect, is his neshama. And therefore the Rambam understood that Olam Haba will just be a neshama. The guf is only like a suit that we have to have for bodily activities. Perhaps performing mitzvahs. So the Rambam says, yes, when there'll be Tchiyas HaMeisim, will be reunited with your guf, that's critical. The world is going to reboot to the world that was always supposed to be, but in the end you will die, and a person will reside in Olam Haba with just his guf, with just his neshama. So all of this could boil down to a fundamental machlekes. What is the nature of the core identity of a person? Is it his neshama, or is neshama together with his guf? There might be differences that relate to this between the Rambam and the Ramban. One difference might be, a shayla that many people are interested in, is does a person come back in the same guf, in Tchiyas HaMeisim, does he come back in the same guf in which he lived? So the Ramban claims, yes, you come back in the same guf that you lived in, because for the Ramban, that's part of who you are, is a person to get in the neshama together with that guf. For if Chasdoy Kreskis writes in his Zohar Hashem, perhaps the Rambam would agree that his neshama is who he is. So the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, if you ever always, you know, wanted to have a different look, so in the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, the Chasdoy Kreskis, maybe it'll be a different guf. It might not necessarily be the same guf that you were in when you were alive. But the Ramban understands that it is probably the same guf. I don't want to get into this topic, but this might relate to the Indian of Gilgulim. Does the concept exist? The Ramban claims on Chumash that it does. He claims that that's what Yibum is all about naming the child of the brother after the dead, the deceased brother, that's Lahakim Zera La'achiv, that's a continuation of the brother. How could it be a continuation of the brother? He doesn't remember the brother. The baby's going to be born. You ask him, do you remember the brother's life? He's going to say, no, he doesn't remember. How could it be a continuation? Because it might be the same neshama in a different guf. So it's related, but it's a different identity. It doesn't have the memories. Maybe the memories are stuck in the old guf, but at least it's somehow connected. For the Rambam, it can't be. Rav Chasdoy Kreskis asks on the whole concept of Gilgulim, how can it possibly exist? I don't remember the last life. He says, how could it be? I'm a Gilgul of somebody else. I don't remember their life. Because there is nothing except the Neshama. It can't be the memories are stored somewhere else. All you have is the Neshama, so it's hard to discuss. It's hard to discuss Gilgulim. One final issue that might be related to this is an interesting discussion. It's Mamash Nagei Lamaisa. It's so strange. But the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis, Baba Basra, that a person cannot affect a kinyan. You cannot transfer money after a person dies. You can't eng shtar la'achar misa and get la'achar misa. You can't affect kinyanim after you die. Rashi, though, has two pshatim. Why not? One pshat in Rashi is because you don't own your money after you die. After you die, you relinquish, you're not vested in your assets anymore, and therefore you cannot transfer ownership of them to somebody else. One Rashi, though, writes, Rashi and Ksubis writes, no, different shots. Rashi and Ksubis on that base says the reason you cannot transfer ownership is because you cannot affect the Maisa Kinyan. You're not around to do anything. You can't hand over a Sudar. You can't do Meshicha. You can't do Hagbah. You can't lift up the item, transfer the item. You're just not around to lift it up. Which is a strange reason. It sounds like from Rashi that you still own your money. Your only problem is that you're kind of, you know, you're predisposed, you're indisposed by the fact that you're dead, but you're not around to affect the Maisa Kinyan. Were it not for that one detail, that one problem, he could have transferred ownership. And in fact, the Ravid, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in his Kavet Shiurim and Baba Basra notes, the Ravid says this. The Ravid says that the only problem with transferring money after a person is deceased is that he just can't physically carry out a Maisa Kinyan. But if he could, then in theory he could transfer ownership. So you'll say, okay, interesting discussion, but that could be what Ramesh's whole tshuva about wills is all about. Ramesh has a famous tshuva about wills. Nowadays, many people do what's known as a halachic will, which we're not going to get into how that works. But they want their assets to be distributed after they pass away, not according to pihalacha. They don't want the Bukhar to get pishnayim. They don't want only the brothers to yarshan. They want the daughters to yarshan. They want them to yarshan equally. So you can make now a halachic will, which has its own mechanics. Rav Moshe says, no, a secular will is good enough. Why? Because Rav Moshe says a secular will is enforceable in court. So therefore, al pi halacha, since it's enforceable in court, it has the status of a Maisa Kinyan. So the minute that you die, your assets get transferred, get distributed based on what you wanted. It doesn't go be Yerusha to your children immediately. You still retain some sort of ownership of it. To the extent that if you do, you know, effectuate a Maisa Kinyan from the grave, which Rav Moshe claims is what a will is, since it's enforceable in court, in secular court, it has a status of pi halacha, and your assets are distributed based on the will. So Dain Grosnas and others, everyone jumps down Ramosha's throat and they say, what are we talking? The minute you die, even if it's enforceable in court, the minute you're dead, you don't own your assets. You're dead. How could a person, if he's deceased, own assets? So everyone asks Rav Moshe, how could it be that a deceased person is transferring ownership? But it could be Rav Moshe held, I'm not the first to suggest this, it could be Rav Moshe held like this idea that even a deceased person could own assets. The only problem is he can't affect a Maisa Kinyan, he can't carry out this act of transferring ownership. But if you'll find a way of doing it, you could in fact transfer ownership. And this might be related to this whole issue of what exactly is a person's identity. Who is a person? Now, who am I? Is a person a neshama together with a guf? That's how the Ramban seems to have understood. In which case, when a person passes away, it makes sense that he loses all interest in his assets. It's not him anymore. The guf is separate. The two have been separated. But according to the Ramban, that perhaps in Olam Haba we're just a neshama, because that's the way Adam HaRishon was in before the chait of the Eitz Hadas. So it could be that the neshama carries on even after a person dies, and perhaps could even, the neshama could continue to exist in this world, at least with regards to perhaps owning assets and things like that. Okay.